there's a problem. And that's what Solomon's trying to do here. He's trying to run his kingdom. He's trying to run his life. And he's coming up with all these problems. It's vain. It's vain. It's worthless. It's better if you were never born. It's better if you were dead instead of alive. It's better if you... And so it comes to this point, and he's teaching us a lesson at the end. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Keep God in your life, because of the fact is, it is so much better just to have a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You might get a whole big bunch of things, but you don't know what type of trouble comes with that. And I think about families sometimes, how they'll sell their family short in order to be able to have some things. You know, be able to have a better house or a better car. But in all reality, what the family needs is time. What the family needs is a mom and a dad, and a husband needs a wife, and the wife needs a husband. You know, it's better to have that good relationship with a little and fearing the Lord than having everything that the world desires, but having a bunch of problems and having a bunch of mistakes that you're making. So if you wanted a breakdown in verses 1 through 6, that kind of gives you a little bit of a breakdown, and we're looking at these verses. But my main thought tonight was found in verse number 1, but they had no comforter. Most of you know that I've attended 3 funerals in the last 10 days and had the privilege of preaching 2 of those funerals. And I've looked across the audience in all 3 services, and I saw people that were uncomfortable. I saw people who did not have comfort. And when I was reading and studying, and of course we know on Wednesday nights, one of the cool things about going through a book of the Bible, you know where you're going next. You don't have to let the Holy Spirit of God you're in that next chapter, in that next verse, unless God speaks your heart differently. And it's kind of, he brought this here, and he says in verse number 1, "So I return and consider all the oppressions that are done under the sun." And then there's another phrase, "Behold the tears." In the last 10 days, I've seen a lot of tears. I've shed a few tears myself. And I look at that, and I'm thinking about the tears, and I begin thinking, okay, what do certain people cry about? And there are a lot of things that people cry about. People sometimes cry because they lose possession. I've watched people cry because they've lost a sporting event. I've watched people cry because they've lost a loved one. I've watched people cry because of the way someone's treated them. And I began thinking a little bit, behold the tears. So I like us to consider, behold the tears of those that have no comforter. That we do not ignore those that are weeping. And the reason why they're weeping is because they cannot comfort one another with these words. Like it talks about in 1 Thessalonians. They do not have the same hope that we have. And because they do not have the same hope that we have, they sorrow. And it says in 1 Thessalonians, "But I would have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope." And I've sat, and I'm not saying everybody, and I know not everybody inside the rooms that I sat in and even had a chance to speak at. I know that some of them were believers. But I also know that there was a large number or a large percentage that probably did not know God. And it was amazing to watch how some sorrow and how some don't, how some have tears and how some don't, and how some are able to be comforted with words and encouragement through scriptures where others cannot be comforted at all. And so when I read that verse and thinking about the last 10 days and seeing these 3 services and thinking of all the different things that are going into it, I'm thinking, man, there are people that are not comforted because they have no comforter. And it rang true in my mind and my heart. I have a comforter. I have someone who comforts me. I have the Holy Spirit of God. And you remember what the scripture says in John chapter 16, verse number 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus is looking at his disciples, and they've already said earlier that night their hearts were troubled. And he says, you know, "Let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, look, don't be worried about it. And then he says to him later on as he's walking to the garden, he says, look, it is expedient. You know what that word expedient means? It means it is better for you that I go away. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking like the 11 disciples, and my heart's broken because one of them's going to deny them, one of them's going to betray them, and Jesus is getting ready to get killed, crucified on the cross. And he tells me it's better for me that if he leaves. It's sort of like one of those bad breakups, you know, when you fell in love with that person. They look at you when you're dating. And they says, no, it'd be better if we break up. And he's like, no, it wouldn't be better if we break up. I want to stay together. Of course, that never, ever happened to me. So, yeah, whatever. And the story here, he's looking at them and it says, it is expedient. It's better that you go away. And we look at that and say, Jesus, how in the world could it be better if you leave? We've followed you. We've heard you. You've taught us so much. But they didn't realize that what Jesus was sending to them was a comforter. And that comforter was going to teach them. That comforter was going to guide them. Jesus, in his wrapped in the human flesh that he was only able to be in that one spot in the body at that moment in time. But he could give them a comforter that would go and live inside of them and that would be with them all the time, that would never leave them, that would never forsake them, that would go along with them as they went out to minister. And he's saying to them, look, it was expedient. He says, it was best. And I don't know about you, but I was rejoicing when I was reading through this verse. I see those that have been oppressed, those that have been hurt. They had no comforter. They had no one that was going to comfort them. They had no one that was going to help them. And then he says, look at those that are the ones that are oppressing the other people. They have strength, it says in those verses. They have the power to manipulate, and they have the power to oppress that group. They have the power to push that group back, to push that group down, and show their authority and their power. But they still lack something. They lack the comforter. And so tonight, I want you to think about it a little bit. Let's behold the tears of those that have no comforter. And let us remind us that as we're going through this and we see people that we know that pass away, loved ones that we care about, that where it doesn't always make sense, we have someone we can rely on. We're not like the oppressed and those that oppress. And yes, sometimes we might fall in one of those groups, but we are not one that has been left comfortless. So I want you to think a little bit about beholding the tears and why do people cry? And I thought about a couple. I mean, I know people know some of the basic ones, but I thought about some of the other ones that maybe you weren't thinking about. Sometimes people cry over those that have no tears, or they cry over those that have no comforter. Think about what it says in Psalms 126:5. They that sow in tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So crying and weeping and tears are not always just because of the fact that we've lost something. Tears can be something that God works in our heart about being brokenhearted for someone that has no comforter. I don't know, as I looked across the audience and the couple of times that I had the opportunity to talk, my heart was broken. And it wasn't just because of the person who had gone, who had been passed away. It was because there were people there that had no comforter. There were people there that did not know Christ. There were people there that were lost and probably not receptive to what the Word of God that was being preached and taught. Then I also think about Jesus wept. We go back and we remember that John 11:35, Mary, Martha weeping for their brother. There's people that were paid to weep there. They had those professional mourners. You know, there's tears come lots of different ways and lots of different fashions. But what the scripture is saying here, behold the tears. And that's what I want you to think about. Behold the tears of those that have no comforter. Consider those that do not know God and consider those that can't have that same hope and that can't have that same comforter. And Jesus, it said, Jesus wept. Now, Jesus being God knew that he was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. So I don't believe that Jesus is weeping because of the fact that Lazarus died. If he knew he's getting ready to raise, remember, he knows everything, right? He knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to raise him from the dead. So why was he weeping? And there's different schools of thought. You know, the first one being for the lack of faith, you know, that Mary and Martha both coming to him and saying, if you had been here. Some think about it when they see and they see the paid mourners that are there and the just the hypocrisy and the mocking that's involved with that. Some would say it's because of death itself and what all the creation has grown together and all the different things that happen in this world and what sin has done to this beautiful creation of earth. We don't know why he was weeping, but we see that Jesus wept also for those that were in need. And I think about it, and as I was reading this, I just couldn't get this thought out of my mind. There are those that have no comforter. In Revelation 21, verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away." So you see here in Revelation 21, 4, it's a future event that someday there will be no more tears. But let us consider those, behold the tears of those that do not have a comforter. I want to encourage you tonight that God sees our tears. As I was watching, and I saw some tears, I didn't see many, I saw some, but I know there was more, that's because you can't sit there and stare at somebody when you're doing a service, obviously. But I saw some weeping and some tears that were there, whether in a funeral home or inside an office or inside a house. But God sees those tears. Think about what it said in Isaiah 38:5. Hezekiah is just learned that he's getting ready to die, and he cries out to God, and God says, "Go and say to Hezekiah," he's speaking to Isaiah, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. God sees our tears. Sometimes we wonder, does God even know? Does God even care? So if there was a man like Solomon here that was writing this book as king, and he's writing this and he's saying, behold the tears of such who were oppressed and they had no comforter, we would write it something differently. We behold those that are oppressed and we behold their tears. But they're not looking for the comforter. They're not allowing God to comfort them. They don't remember that God sees their tears. Do they know the one true God? I want to encourage you tonight, we have a comforter. So let's go ahead and jump in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, we're going to look a little bit about this comforter. I know we're jumping a little ways around, but I think you can get what's trying to be said here. Behold the tears of those that have no comforter. We're not that. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you have a comforter. But let us not get so hard-hearted that we look at somebody and say, that's their own fault, that's their own problem. No, we should behold the tears of those that have no comforter, that do not have what we have, but could have what we have. And John chapter number 14, and once again, this is Jesus walking to the garden and speaking to his disciples. Everything is changing in a few hours. In a few hours, they're going to be awakened by a group coming and taking Jesus and, taking him prisoner and taking him away. So these hours are precious. This is where you see in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So you have all those different things that he's teaching them. But look what it says in verses 26 and 27. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Then he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I think about those verses, and I think about verse number 27. It says, "Not as the world giveth." You know, being in the ministry for a number of years now, coming up to, I think, 17, 18 years sometime soon, and there are people who try to comfort their things, comfort their lives with untruth. And I'm not talking about the last three services. I'm talking about over the 17 years of experience. You would not believe some of the things that people have said, I'm looking forward to, or this person's gone, and they just are willing to throw out what the Bible says just so that way they can believe that person's in heaven. And they're trying to comfort themselves with things that, like, the world would comfort. They're no longer in pain. I get it. I understand what they're saying. But what Jesus is saying, the comforter he is offering, the peace that he is offering, is something that is unlike this world. It's not something you have to dream up. It's not something you have to think of. It's not all those different things. He says, "Hey, look, I have a peace that is beyond all understanding, that passeth all understanding." And I have there's a comforter, and he's that comforter. What is he going to do for you? He says he's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you. And sometimes, I don't know about you, that's a comfort to me. When I'm struggling and when I'm hurting with something, the Holy Spirit of God will say things inside my own heart and say things inside my own life that will encourage me, that will strengthen me. And he's saying here, it's better for you. It's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm sending this comforter. But in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, what Solomon's saying is there are people that do not have this comforter. I don't know how people live without God. I don't know how people can live in the day and time we have, and they see tragedy happen, and they see heartache, and they see the world going haywire and crazy, but they don't have a God they can turn to. They don't have a comforter that sees our tears and that comforts and encourages and teaches us and reminds us of all the things that we've been taught before. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't look past those tears of those that have no comforter. It'd be easy just to dismiss it and say, well, you give the gospel and that's enough. People need the Lord. People need to see a light. People need to have people praying for them. People need to have people not giving up on them. They need someone who's going to behold their tears and say, they don't have the same comforter I do. They don't have the same one, the same hope I have. They don't have the same peace that I have. They don't have what only God has to offer. Think about what it says in Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he's saying, during the valley of the shadow of death, I know there's someone we can turn to. And there's a complete difference of speaking to a funeral where there's someone that has the testimony of salvation and has lived for God. It's not something that is a sad event. It can be an exciting, encouraging event. Hey, we're going to see him again someday. And we love saying that at funerals. We love hearing that preach because of the truth and the reality. That's hope. That's comfort. That's encouragement. That this is not just goodbye. I'm going to see you in a little while. And I want to encourage you tonight. There is a world out there that we need to behold their tears, even the ones that are not shown, sometimes even on the inside, because there is a world out there that is not comforted because they have not a comforter. Go ahead and take your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want to show you these verses. I alluded to them earlier. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 is a popular passage of Scripture that is read at funerals, and you'll see why here in a second. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, it talks about how to encourage someone that has gone, that's lost a loved one. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, we'll start in verse number 13. My bad, 1 Thessalonians. I'm sure we can find something good in 1 Corinthians too, or whatever I said. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, but I would have not you be ignorant, to be ignorant. He's saying, I don't want you not to have this knowledge. He says, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And when they talk about the word asleep here, they're referring to a person who has died. And then this is just a great phrase, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those that have no hope are the ones that have no comfort. Those that do not know God. Those that are... You cannot go up to somebody and say they're in a better place. Now, the peace that the world offers, they can make that happen. And once again, I don't know anyone's heart. I truly don't. I don't know, and I'm not judging a person's, whether or not a person is in heaven today or not. Obviously, there's talks about their fruit, talks about their life, if they gave a testimony, you know, those different things. But I'm saying that a person that is trying to develop a peace that there is no peace about because there is no comforter because there is no hope for that person. But it's saying here in verse number 13, we don't have to act like that. It says in verse number 13, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. It doesn't say that we don't sorrow. Of course we miss those that have gone on. Of course we miss those that we love, especially ones that are cut off too short or someone that we are super close with, someone who meant a lot to us. And it's saying here that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. That is not us. But there's a world full of people like that. we should not ignore their tears. We should not be and say, they put themselves in this mess, they need to get themselves out. Instead, we see Jesus looking at the multitudes and having compassion on them because they are sheep as without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion because he saw their need. I think that's part of the reason why he wept that day, because of what sin had done to this world. Those tears, God sees our tears, but are we beholding the tears of them that have no comforter, as it talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. For sake of time, we will not read the whole entire passage of Scripture, but in verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with you." So he's saying, look, if they're gonna be with us someday. When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions." And towards the end, he says, "And there where I am, you're going to be at. You're going to be with you." Look what it says in verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I have in my, not in this Bible, but in another Bible, those two things marked at the end of verse 13 all the way to verse number 18. And I tell people when I deal with them many times at a service or a funeral or even just at their house, we have comforting words to say. We know where they're at today. Based off their testimony and based off what the Scripture says, we can comfort one another with these words. I don't know how encouraging that is. I don't think you can put a description on that. I haven't done tons of services over the years. I haven't done, and it's not about me, but it's just putting a perspective on it from the guy standing behind the pulpit. When you see people that are weeping, that have no comforter, and that will not listen, we should not ignore that. When we see people that are encouraged and helped. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles now to 2 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians, it's not 2 Thessalonians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Second Corinthians chapter number 1. Second Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies," and that next phrase, "and the God of all comfort." Wow. He is the one that comforts us. But it doesn't stop there. Look what it says in verse number 4. I love this. It says, "Who comfort us in all our tribulations." Now, what did Ecclesiastes say? What did Solomon say? "I looked at those that were oppressed. I looked at those that were oppressing the others. They had no comforter. We have a comforter. We have hope." And continues on. And this is another phrase I've underlined in another Bible. "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." God doesn't just comfort us to keep it to ourselves. There is a comfort and peace that God gives us because we have a comforter and we have hope. He has given us that so we can share that with someone else. It's not just something, "Oh, we got our comforter here." Now, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus wasn't telling those 11 disciples, "Hey, there's a comforter coming for you 11. You're going to love him. He's going to be great." He doesn't do that. It's something that he says, "Now take that comforter and go into all the world and spread the gospel." So yes, it's not us saying, "Hey, look at me. I don't have to sorrow like the rest of us, the rest of the people do. I have a peace, I have a hope, and I have a comfort." But you see in verse number 3, it's the God of all comfort who comfort us in all tribulation. It's not something we deserve. It's something that he has given us, "that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And I think that's a great phrase and is a great thought that, yes, God comforts us, and we're thankful for that comfort. And as I was reading that verses in chapter Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, they were oppressed or they were the oppressors, but they had no comforter. Behold their tears. What am I supposed to do with them? I'm supposed to share with them the comfort I have. I'm supposed to share with them the comfort that God has comforted me over the years with. When I said goodbye to a loved one, when I faced someone I cared about that was struggling, when I had financial hardship, or when I was going through something personally that was deep or dark. There's a God that comforts us, and then it says that who comforts us in all our tribulation. It's not just some. He sees our tears, and he can comfort us in any situation if we allow him to. And, you know, different people struggle with different things. But I have no idea why so many Christians are so worried. I don't understand why. And once again, you might say, hey, pastor, I don't understand why you struggle with the sin you struggle with. But, you know, the worry and the anxiety that is in so many people's hearts and so many people's lives, God is there, and he is able, and he is willing to comfort us. And that way we can comfort someone else. And I love it when he says, in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We don't have to come up with anything. We don't have to make something up like the world offers. The world offers the peace that doesn't last because they're trying to make something, make someone feel good because of something that happened. And I don't blame them. I would be doing the same thing. I wouldn't want to consider my loved one being lost and gone forever. I understand why they do it, but they don't have to. There is a comforter out there that is able to comfort us in all things. So when Solomon is trying to live this life without God, and he's trying to present this, hey, I saw the oppressed and I saw the oppressors. The oppressors had strength, but they still had no comforter. And I think about the success rate that's found in verses 4 and 5 and 6. They talk about all the things they have, but there's a bunch of trouble there. Talk about the fool that's not willing to do anything. And it says in verse number 2, it'd be better if they were dead. It'd be better if they were unborn in verse number 3. Why is that? It's because they don't have the comforter. So, pastor, how do we apply that to our lives? Two things. We should not live like we don't have a comforter. We have a God that can help us. We have a God that comforts us. And it's something that we should remember and allow him to comfort us so we can comfort others. And number two, when he said that phrase, behold the tears, like I said this past week, I've seen some tears. The last 10 days, I've seen multiple people from all different types of spectrums of life, different religions, tears. We shouldn't ignore those. They are something that we realize they do not have a comforter. And don't get me wrong, there are tears from a believer. I know Jesus wept, so I'm not saying no, but it's wrong to weep. I have Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, talk about a time to mourn, a time to dance. Still haven't figured out when that time to dance is yet, but that time of mourning, it's something that we will shed tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We do hurt, but we don't sorrow like those that have no hope. And we're supposed to comfort one another with those words as believers. But those that are unbelievers, we're supposed to comfort them also with, God helped me through this because he was my rock. He is my savior. I know that I will see my loved one again because of their testimony based off the truth of the word of God. And that's how he comforts someone else, because it's truth. It's the comforter that he's leaving. And even though if I was one of those 11 disciples and he would have said, hey, look, guys, it's better if I leave, I would have said, no, Jesus, you're wrong. It's not better you leave. We need you here. And he's like, no, it's expedient. It's best because I'm sending you a comforter, and it's something that is going to be able to comfort you all the time, everywhere. And a day and time when there's so much tragedy and so much heartache, upcoming elections and not knowing what the world's going to be like, you know what? We don't have to sorrow like those that have no hope. We have hope. There is a comforter. There is a God that's in charge. God that's in control, and we can put our faith and trust in him. It doesn't mean that we stick our heads in the sand and act like nothing's going on. No, we live by faith, by trying to make a difference in this world and being a light in this world. But we should not ignore the tears. Behold the tears of those that have no comforter. It's easy to do. You walk past people with a bad attitude, people that don't know Christ, be like, oh, they're not worth it. They are. And then we also think about believers that have a bad attitude sometimes too. It's not just unbelievers. Comfort one another with these words. We don't sorrow like someone else does. But we need to learn how to behold the tears of those that have no comforter. Let's pray.